and forget to pray, you shrink. And this is something that we want to address today when we, in the subject of what we've had this week in spiritual warfare, when we've been thinking about facing giants, and we looked on, of course, we looked at the great victory that has been won by the Lord Jesus on Friday night, and then the first meeting, the first two meetings on Saturday, we looked at the giant that David conquered. Then we looked at the giant that conquered David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And then lastly, we looked at the giant in 2 Samuel 21 that David could not conquer alone. And he needed others to come alongside and help. And we reminded ourselves that we're not in this battle alone, and that the Lord Jesus has triumphed. He's gained the victory, but we need one another in this battle together. Today, this morning, we want to look, we want to focus a bit on the thought of secret weapons. And we placed up here the secret weapons, and there's two of them that are mentioned. Well, one of them is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. And Lord willing, tonight we may look a little bit more at Ephesians chapter 6, but I just want to lift one verse out of Ephesians chapter 6, and that is in verse 18. In verse 18, we read, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then Paul goes on to say, "And for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And then he goes on. But I want to, just this morning, in the few moments that we have together, I'd like to set before us how important it is, these two secret weapons in the life of the believer. If you are not a praying person, then when the giants come against you, you will not have what you need to be able to face those giants. But what prayer does is prayer fortifies you and strengthens you, and it reminds you that you rely upon an outside force. You rely upon God Himself to come to your aid. You are dependent when we pray. And it's interesting to me that one of the very first things, when the Apostle Paul was saved, when the Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus from heaven shone to him in that bright light that outshined the noonday sun, he says in Acts chapter 26, when the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and then Paul says to him, "What would thou have me to do?" His life was changed. He surrendered his heart over to Jesus Christ. And one of the very first things that Ananias is told, one of the very first things that he is told that Paul is doing, is that he would find him on a place called, on a street called Straight, and he says that he's there, and he's doing what? He's praying. He's praying. And what oxygen is to the life of the believer, or to the each of us, what oxygen is to the human being, prayer is to the Christian. We need a life of prayer. Because it's an access. And when we think about this idea of being in a battle, when we think about the fact that every one of us are on the front lines in this battle, every one of us are out in the front lines and we're being bombarded by the enemy. Paul talks about the fiery darts that are coming at us. And he talks about lifting up the shield of faith and all these other things. But when we're out on the front lines, one of the things we need is we need communication with headquarters. That's what prayer is. If you put it in the battle scene, that the people on the front lines need to be in contact with headquarters so that they know where to go. And they know what to do. And they know how to go about in this battle. They know the best avenues, the best paths, and the best way. And that's what prayer is for us, and how important it is. And Paul mentions this, and he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication, meaning to beg the throne of God, to beseech the throne of God in the Spirit, realizing that it's the power of the Spirit of God that we're connected with heaven because of the man of the glory. And that man who's the head of the body, the head of the assembly, has now sent the Holy Spirit down. And the Holy Spirit has baptized us all into one body and connects us to the head. And so we pray in the Spirit. And as we pray in the Spirit, our prayers go up to our mediator. Our prayers go up to our high priest. And he takes those prayers and he presents them to the Father. And how wonderful. And listen, I want to tell you, there's no right way to pray and there's no wrong way to pray. We need to emphasize on the fact that we need to be dependent. We need to be dependent. A lot of times we worry about saying the right words or saying the right whatever. I remember a young man that got saved and he came to the meeting. And in the prayer meeting, there were some flowery languages going up. I mean, there was those that were offering up what appeared to the rest of us. They were offering up, you know, bullocks. I mean, it looked like they were killing the fatted calf. They were offering it up to the Lord. But maybe to the Lord that might have just been a little turtle dove. But then this young man that was just saved, he came. And that night he just poured out his heart and he told the Lord how thankful he was. And it was from the abundance of the heart the mouth spoke. And I tell you, that was a fatted calf. I don't know about the rest of them. I'm not here to judge them. But I'm just saying, the Lord wants us to pour out our hearts to Him. And that's what prayer is. And how wonderful that we are able to do that. And so He says this in supplication and in the Spirit, being watchful. Why? Being watchful to this end. Well, to what end? The fact that the whole context of what He's saying is in the context of battle. There's a war going on, and we've been occupied with that this weekend. We've been occupied with the fact that we wrestle against not flesh and blood. We've been occupied with the fact that our weapons are not carnal, but our weapons are spiritual. And one of those spiritual weapons that we have is prayer. To this end, that we need to be watchful, knowing that our enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not sober, if we're not vigilant, if we're not men and women of prayer, he will creep in. And he will slowly sap us of our energy. And things will start to creep in. And how we need to be able to be in prayer, he says, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now I want to show you from God's Word, and if you turn with me now to the book of Acts, we're going to look basically at two passages of Scripture this morning, one in the New Testament, one in the Old. One we're going to emphasize prayer, and the other we're going to emphasize praise. And when we think about this, Iman's going to take us to the next slide here. And what prayer and praise are the oars by which a man may row his boat into deep waters of the knowledge of Christ. Charles Spurgeon. And I thought this quote was a wonderful quote, that he would tell us that the prayer and praise are the oars in which we can row into deeper knowledge and appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I found this other quote that said, when God's warriors go down on their knees, the battle is not over, it just begun. This is the importance of prayer. We'll go to the next slide. When we think about prayer and praise, it breaks down the walls. And this is what we want to look at in Acts chapter 16. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And that's what we looked at in Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer is the most powerful weapon against every trial you face. Let me say that again. Prayer is the most powerful weapon against every trial you face. Let me ask a question. Who here in this room has not faced trials? I'm looking. I don't see any hands. I was going to ask you what your secret is, but we've all faced them. We all face trials. And the most powerful weapon we have is prayer. And we want to see that. Then he says the most effective medicine against all form of sickness is prayer. The most valuable gift you can give someone that you love is prayer. Now, I made a comment earlier in the week. Now, since I have you all captive, I'll say it again. And here's the comment that I made yesterday, I think it was. I wonder why it is that the prayer meeting in almost every assembly is so poorly attended. I'm getting looks like, okay, now you're meddling. Why is that? Why is it that the prayer meeting is such poorly attended? I said yesterday it's either because we don't believe in God, so we don't see the need to come and pray, or we don't believe in prayer. Or there's a third reason. I didn't mention this yesterday. We're rich and need of nothing. As it says in Revelation chapter 3, you're rich and need of nothing. There's nothing we need. Why pray? Things are going good. It's this self-complacency. And so, you know, we need to be reminded of the power of prayer. We need to be reminded that prayer breaks down the walls. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if every one of us believed in prayer and we came and we besought the throne of grace and we came and fell upon our face, what could God do with a company of believers who are dependent upon Him, who pour out their hearts to Him together, collectively? What could He do with that assembly? It's yet to be found out. But maybe it could begin right here in Willowdale. I believe that in the power of prayer, and I believe that we need to talk less and pray more. Sometimes we need to preach less. That seems like a strange thing for a preacher to say. But I believe that we need to preach less and pray more. Because a preacher that never prays and depends upon the Lord is like a cloud without water in it. It's just a cloud and it's fluffy. It can't refresh the ground. It's just empty. If we want to refresh the hearts of the saints, we must be praying people. And so we have this here. And we'll go to the next slide there. When we think about this, and we'll just leave that up there for a little bit. When we think about what takes place in Acts chapter 16, we're reminded that they came to the river. It says that in verse 13, that on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside, and prayer was customly made. And this is at Philippi. Now, keep in mind that this was the beginning of the assembly at Philippi. This was the beginning of the assembly at Philippi. This is the context of the book of Philippians. This is how Philippians begins. When Paul writes to Philippians, this is the beginning of that assembly. And so when we think about this, that there they were, that this assembly began, and can I say this? In the context, it says that it was a ladies' prayer meeting. It says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. And so there were sisters there, and it was surrounded, really, because in the context of the day, they needed at least 10 Jewish men to form a synagogue, to form a place where men could gather. So there weren't, at least from what we read, there weren't 10 men. And so here we are, and Lydia is one of those women that's at the prayer meeting, or she goes to the river, and they have this prayer meeting at the river. Sisters, do you know how important your prayers are? There's nothing more precious to me than praying, sisters. Oftentimes we minimize it, but listen, I need to tell you that there's, to me, the power of a sister that prays. My wife and I are together today because I told an older sister, would you pray? I said, I'd like to get to know this young lady. Would you pray? And so she started praying because I know that when she started knocking on the door of heaven, heaven's going to answer, right? So I was a wise young man and said, pray. that this would happen. And she did pray, and look what happened. But you know what? When sisters pray, when I used to have two sisters, now there's only one. I used to have two sisters in Corona. When I would leave home on a trip, when I would leave to go share God's word, I had two sisters, and they would ask me, now where are you going to be? And then where are you going to be? And then where are you going to be? And they would say, well, we're going to be praying for you. And I knew that while I was out, that there were those behind these sisters that are praying. And how important it is, sisters, don't minimize your role. Please don't minimize the importance of your prayers. You can be prayer warriors. And a brother gets up here to preach, sisters, you can pray him through the message. And a brother, you know that there's a brother's meeting. Well, listen, have a prayer meeting at home and pray for the brothers as they gather together for prayer. Listen, if we put a paramount on prayer, how would it change our assemblies? And so the challenge is this little assembly begins at a prayer meeting. And then we find that verse 16, I just want to skip down to verse 16. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now listen, here's what the girl would say. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Did she proclaim anything wrong? No. She was right on the money with what she was saying. The problem is, it was annoying the way she was saying it. And she would follow them around and saying it. And Paul could not be able to proclaim the word of God because this woman, and it was being done in the influence, under the influence of the enemy. And so in verse 18, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw it, their hope for profit was gone. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace and authorities. And I'll just stop there. Now I want to underline the second place, the second time in this chapter where prayer is mentioned. First time, the assembly is just beginning, really. It's at its infant stage, you might say. And there they are, and the sisters are gathering together for prayer, and Paul comes, and there's this work of God beginning, and it begins with prayer. And then it says, as we went to prayer, that a certain girl possessed with a demon came to interrupt the prayer. I want to tell you something. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but have you ever experienced when you go to pray? Or how about this? Have family devotions after you eat. You go through the whole meal without the phone ringing. And as soon as you get ready to read God's word or have prayer, or maybe in your private devotions, all of a sudden you get interrupted. You see, the enemy does not want us to be a praying people. And the enemy will cause all sorts of interruptions. How about this one? How many of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever fallen asleep while you prayed? Huh? The best medicine, right? It's better than a sleeping pill. Because the enemy says, you know what? You're going to pray. You're going to tap into the throne of God. You're going to get the power from on high. I'll just rock you to sleep. It's okay. The enemy doesn't want us to pray. The enemy doesn't want us to rely upon the power of God to work in situations. And so he will cause all sorts of interruptions. And that's what we see here. As they went to pray, this girl came and there was an interruption. And I want to tell you that when families pray together, families stay together. It's not just a plaque on the wall. It's actually a real practice. When families put God first and not just going through routines, but when families are really dependent, when fathers step up and they do the priestly service in the home and they function as mediators for their family, how important this is. When brothers in the assembly recognize that it's not a matter of teaching, it's a matter of the power that we're lacking. And what we need is we need power from on high. And how are we going to get it? We get it on our knees. If you want to go high, you got to go low. And so it necessitates prayer. But the enemy wants to interrupt. So what do we find? As they went to prayer. And so what happens? They're taken. Paul causes the owner of this girl to lose money. And so what happens is they take this girl. They take Paul and Silas. They arrest them. They put them in prison. They beat them first, it says. And having laid many stripes on them, verse 23... they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So here's Paul and Silas, and they've been beaten. They've been beaten, many stripes. They're chained, hands and feet in the stocks. They're in the inner prison. But there's nothing, brothers and sisters, there's no shackles in prayer. There's no inner prison where prayer can't penetrate. There's no circumstance where prayer can't rise above and get to the throne of grace. If we really believe in prayer, this little phrase that sometimes, you know, I remember Grant Steidel used to tell the story about, he asked a lady once, he said, how you doing? And she says, I'm okay under the circumstance. And Grant says, well, what are you doing under there? Because prayer can rise us above the circumstances and we can tap into the resources of heaven. And look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. It's the third time prayer is mentioned here in connection to the assembly at Philippi. You know what's interesting? The book of Philippians begins with prayer and ends with prayer. Paul puts an emphasis in the book of Philippians on prayer. They knew that. They were established as a testimony for Jesus Christ because of prayer. And three times it's mentioned. And so we find that while they're, Paul and Silas, they, you know, they're in circumstances that where, if we were in those circumstances, many of us would have found ourselves in those circumstances, and what would we have done? Oh, we would have, here I serve the Lord and do all this stuff, and here I am standing up for the truth, and I get thrown in prison and beaten. I'm done. I quit. You ever been like that? You ever said, you know, enough's enough. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I put these people behind me. They don't appreciate me anyway. Pour out my heart. Do all this stuff behind the scenes. If we get to that place, who are we occupied with? I've been there, so I'll tell you. You're occupied with self, right? But when you're really doing it for the Lord, you can depend upon the Lord in prayer. And He raises you up above those circumstances. And this is Paul and Silas. They weren't having a pity party. They weren't looking at themselves. They were looking up. And it says in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now here's the connection, prayer and praise being brought together. And it says there that they would be offering up these sacrifices of praise to God. It says here that they were dependent upon God. And it says the prisoners were listening to them. Listen, do you realize that when we pray, there are those that listen to us? When we pray, our prayer life does indeed affect other people. Now, we may pray in the closets of our homes. And Scripture would tell us that we shouldn't pray long, flowery prayers in public just to be heard. And that's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is that our prayer lives affect other people. And you don't know the impact that you will have on other people. You have no idea. And the impact that we can have as we come together and pray for the assembly. To pray specifically, to pray earnestly. To really grab a hold of the altars, of the horns of the altars, as it were. And to really be before the Lord with a situation. The power of prayer. And it says that the prisoners were listening. Now, I'm not comparing your children to prisoners, but I want to just bring this into the family. And I want to say that our family, our children, watch. Is mommy and daddy dependent upon the Lord? We say one thing in the meeting, but are we really dependent upon the Lord when there's more bills at the end of the month than there is money? Does dad say, you know what, let's get on our knees. Let's lay this before the Lord. When there's a health situation that comes up, is the first thing we do is crumble, or is the first thing that we do to get on our knees and say to the Lord and just be open and honest with Him and just pour out our hearts to the Lord? And do our children watch us and see us do that? Oh, you know, some would say, well, you know, I'm a man and I got to be manly. You're never more of a man when you depend on the man Christ Jesus. And when our children see us do that, oh, it makes a world of difference in their lives. Because when circumstances come in their lives, then they know where to turn. Because they've seen dad do it. They've seen mom do it. So they know where to turn. They know where to go for help. Because they've observed it in your life and in my life. How important. And so the prisoners were there. And it says that suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's chains were loose. So there it was, the prison doors, because of prayer and because of the praise going up. Because they were rising above this inner prison. And they were rising above the shackles that held them down. And they were lifting their voice up to heaven. And God heard their prayers. And God shakes the prison that they're found in. And I'm going to tell you, listen, that God can shake the prison that you're bound in, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance is. Whether it's a health circumstance, no matter if it's a family circumstance that you're passing through right now, no matter what that giant is, prayer can defeat the giant in your life. And here this prison shakes and the walls come tumbling down. And somebody said that that's the first real jailhouse that rocked. If you know who Elvis Presley was. Right? God did it way before Elvis. And you know, when you think about this prison that shook, and it shook because two men would depend upon their God. And there it is. It says there that the doors were open. And I love that expression. The foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately, the doors were open. And it reminds us how prayer opens the doors Now, I'd like to make this suggestion that prayer opens the door of heaven. Prayer opens the door of our hearts. Prayer opens the door of our circumstances. That when we're depending not on ourselves and we're not leaning to our own understanding, but in all our ways we're acknowledging Him and we're allowing Him to direct our paths, He opens the doors and He leads us. And He takes us through. And it says that the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing prisoners had fled, drew out his sword and was about to kill himself. And here it is. It says that Paul called for, with a loud voice, he said, "Don't do yourself any harm, for we are all here." Now I want to underline two things with this. First thing, backing up just a little bit. The Bible tells us that we are holy priests. And the Bible tells us that we are royal priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, that every blood-bought saint of God, male or female, are priests before God. We all have male and female. We have different functions, but we're brought on the same ground as priests with different functions in that priesthood. But we're all priests. And as a holy priest, we can go into the presence of God. And that's what Paul and Silas do here. They go into the presence of God. And they're depending upon God. Now, usually we connect this to the fact that our access into the presence of God allows us to praise Him, to worship Him. But here in this case, we want to just make the application that their access into the presence of God allows them that access to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4. And so how wonderful that you and I have this access into the presence of God. And so what do we find? We find here then that as they do, as holy priests, God comes in on their behalf. But then we find something else. As royal priests, Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And this is our privilege. As royal priests, we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a wonderful privilege that we have to be able to be a testimony to what God has done. And as we are a praying people, we give testimony through our answered prayer or through the way the Lord sustains us through that prayer. By the very grace that God sustains us, and we may beseech the throne of God, and we may ask the Lord to remove something out of our life, we may ask Him to answer a specific way, and He may say to us, no. He may say, you know what I want you to do is I want you to depend upon my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. I want you to know your weakness, so that in your weakness, you might know my strength. Because in my weakness, that's when I am going to be strong. And He says, I will strengthen you in your weakness by my grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so what He says to Paul there is that my grace is sufficient for you. And so by Paul's testimony there, Paul is able then to rely upon that grace, and we are able to rely upon that grace that God sustains us with in that time of difficulty, in that time of tribulation, when those giants are bombarding us and coming at us, whether it's a giant of fear, whether it's a giant of doubt, whether it's a giant of a circumstance or a health issue or whatever it might be, a family issue. No matter what kind of giant's coming at us, but that when we are a praying people, what we're able to do then is we're able to rely upon that grace as we're dependent and praying to Him, and His grace is sufficient. But not only that, then His grace is a testimony, and people will ask us how it is that, what makes you tick? How it is that you can pass through this and you're still smiling? I don't get it. I was hoping you'd ask, let me tell you. And then you can share Christ with them. You see? That's what happens here. So as a holy priest, you're in the presence of God. You're depending upon God. And then what happens? As you come out of the presence of God, as a royal priest, you proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness. You proclaim the excellencies of Him who has sustained you by His grace. And you can tell people, don't do yourself any harm. Listen, let me tell you, there's a better way. Let me tell you about my Savior. And that's exactly what Paul does. As a royal priest now, we find Paul, it says in verse 28, he calls out to Him, and then he called, listen to this, verse 29, then he called for a light, because this man was in dark. You know who the greatest prisoner in that jail was? It wasn't Paul and Silas. They were the freest men in the jail, because prayer can't hold you down. Prayer cannot hold a believer down. And they were the freest men. They were liberated men in shackles, because they were praying to the Lord. But here's a man not in shackles, but he's in bondage. And he's in darkness. And what does he do? He has to call for a light. And he says, I need a light coming in here. And listen, I want to tell you that this world is in darkness, and this world needs your light to shine upon them. And He has called you out of darkness. He has called you into His marvelous light, and He wants your light to shine in the dark scene. This world is calling for lights. This world, people you work with, people that you live next to, they're calling. They are calling for light to be brought to them. They might not even know it. But your testimony as a praying people, as a praying family, as a family that gets on their knees before the Lord, your testimony as that employee that depends upon God, and instead of listening to the programs on the radio on the way to work, you're tapping into a greater program. You're calling upon the Lord in prayer. And so you get to work. And you're a royal priest, and people see your life, and they want to know what's different about your life. And so we find he calls for light and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How tremendous is that? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, and your household as well. Listen. Jesus Christ can change families. And that's what he's saying here. Keep in mind, this began with prayer. This began with prayer. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes people. And can I say this? Prayer changes me. I remember an experience in an assembly where there was nothing but problem after problem after problem, difficulty after difficulty. The assembly looked like it was going to fall apart. Until one brother said in the prayer meeting, Lord, we need your help. And he called it like it is. And he poured out his heart in tears for the assembly. And then this brother confessed that he held something against that brother. And that brother confessed that he had something against this brother. And you saw the walls come tumbling down in the prison of bitterness and anger and resentment that was in that assembly. All because one brother prayed. I remember hearing of another story of another brother who, when he passed away, this brother, this assembly was going on and there was absolutely no problems. Everything was wonderful. And this brother passes away. And then shortly after his life, after the Lord had taken him home, shortly thereafter, maybe a month and a half later, the assembly starts experiencing all sorts of difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And they said, well, we don't understand this. And then somebody had the sense to say, you know what? This all began when brother so-and-so passed away. He died and the assembly started having problems. We don't get it. So they went to his wife And by the way, this is a brother in the meeting who never really participated verbally. He never really participated from the pulpit. So they didn't get this. They didn't understand. And so they said, well, what's this all about? So they go to the sister, to his wife, and they said, you know, ever since we've just noticed this, and maybe it's just a coincidence, but we've noticed this, and ever since your husband's passed away, we've noticed things are falling apart in the assembly. What's up with that? And she said, what you brothers don't know is that he knew that these two brothers butted heads. And he knew that these two sisters didn't get along. And he would come home every meeting. And he would get on his knees. And he would pour out his heart. And he begged the Lord to preserve the assembly in spite of itself. And through that one brother's prayers, the Lord was sustaining that assembly. It's amazing. And this caused a work of God amongst the brothers. It caused the work of God in the assembly, and the walls of all the enemy's problems came tumbling down. And there was victory for the glory of God because of prayer. And so I want to emphasize this morning how important it is that we be a praying people. And we find that in the end of this story that he took them in the same hour of the night. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. And they spoke a word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them that same night, it says in verse 33, and he washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. They gave an outward evidence of an inward work. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household, all because two men prayed. And the question for us, I'm sorry I didn't get the praise, and maybe that's going to be tonight, but all because two men, two brothers, depended upon the Lord. And when we come to the book of Philippians, we hear him say, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the God of peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard, garrison your heart and your mind. How wonderful. We talk about battles. And he says, you know what? If you want to win the battle, it's on your knees. It's not by having more scriptures under your belt than another brother. It's about being on your knees. That's how we win our battles. May the Lord help us to be a praying people. And again, I want to encourage us that if we would fill up this hall, if each assembly that we come from, if we would put a important priority on prayer on the Wednesday night or the Thursday night or the Tuesday night or whatever night it is that we gather together corporately, we could strengthen the testimony for Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, well, that brother, he just talks to the back of the bench. You know, I can never hear him because he's muffled. Well, can I just say a word to that, brothers? Lift up your voice. Lift up your head. Don't speak here. Speak here so people can hear you. Just a little encouragement. Don't speak to the seat. Speak up so people can hear. Just a little encouragement for us, right? You know, what one assembly I know that they, what I call, I don't know what to call it. It's like popcorn prayers. You know, where the brother will pray short. And he'll just pray maybe two or three things he prays for. And then another brother prays for two or more things. And then it goes around and all the brothers pray for different things. And then we come back again and this brother prays again. And maybe the brothers pray three, four, five times. Each brother. There's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. instead of one brother praying long, 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 long prayers and everybody says good night. And then he wakes us up and says amen. That alarm went off. Okay. And then the next brother rocks us all to sleep. No. What we need is to be able to be fervent in prayer. And I just want to encourage us. And these are practical things, but I just want to encourage us. We really believe in prayer. And we believe in a God that answers prayer. Brothers and sisters, let's put it into action. Let's bring down the walls in prayer. May the Lord encourage us to do that. And maybe tonight we'll look more specifically at praise. But until then, maybe we'll be a praying people for His name's sake.